Hi, this is Farah Hürdüzü from Gettysburg Holiday Inn Hotel, and we are in a Pennsylvania Paranormal Conference. My guest is Eric Altman, and he defines himself as a Bigfoot expert and investigator. Hi, Eric, how are you?
I'm well, thank you. Nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you too. So, what are you doing with Bigfoot?
Well, I'm trying to get to the bottom of this mystery and get it solved one way or the other, personally and for the Bigfoot community.
What is a Bigfoot exactly?
Oh, we're really not sure, but reports describe it as a bipedal animal that walks on two legs, usually stands between 6 to 9 feet in height, anywhere from 300 to 800 pounds, covered in dark brown, light brown, or white colored hair. It resembles what most people would consider a primate or an ape. Some people say it looks more human-like. My job as an investigator is to determine what this creature is and if, in fact, they do exist.
How did you start?
I got interested in this when I was 10 years old, back in 1980. I saw some movies on television, Legend of Boggy Creek, Creature from Black Lake, that dealt with Bigfoot-type creatures in the south of the United States, Louisiana, Texas, that area. And they were run on Sunday afternoons. I watched the movies, was very intrigued by the fact that there could possibly be a relative of man, a primate, walking around to this day. And supposedly they were extinct millions of years ago. Neanderthal were extinct. So it really fascinated me that something like this could be still roaming around our woodlands today. At that time, I began to read books at the local library and get my hands on any newspaper or magazine accounts that I could find on the subject. I was very surprised to learn that there were quite a number of reports and a large number of activity going on in Pennsylvania, my home state. And from there, I began to investigate local newspaper reports. I began to follow the work of Stan Gordon, who is also a Pennsylvania researcher, and he was very active during the 70s. And I was very surprised to find out during the 1972, 73, and 74 calendar years that there was a large number of activity and sightings being reported in Pennsylvania. From there, I continued to read as many books as I could find on the subject to educate myself on it. I spent a good number of years following Stan's work, following Dr. Paul Johnson's work, another Pennsylvania investigator, and watching as many movies on the subject or documentaries on the subject as I could find.
Yeah. So is Bigfoot only in the United States, or are there other Bigfoot sightings in other countries all over the world?
Yeah, that's correct. There are Bigfoot sightings around the world. In other countries, it's not referred to as Bigfoot, but in Asia, Nepal, the Himalayan mountains is referred to as the Yeti.
Yeti, the white one.
The white creature, right. Or as we like to call him, the abominable snowman.
Mm-hmm.
He's also known as the Yeren. In Australia, he's known as the Yowie.
Mm-hmm.
There's different names for the creature. He's been seen all over the world, mainly in Asia and Australia. He's pretty popular in those countries, but here in the United States, he's known as Bigfoot. And the term Bigfoot was coined in the late 1950s, I believe, 1954, 55, somewhere in there. A gentleman by the name of Jerry Crew was a foreman of a logging company, and they were creating a road through the Sierra Mountains in California, a logging road and an access road. And while they were doing this, they would periodically find these large human-like footprints around their equipment. And this went on for quite some time. And one day, Jerry returned to work to find several large footprints around one of his bulldozers. And these footprints led off to a ravine and eventually disappeared out of sight. So he took some plaster of Paris and made some casts of these footprints, poured the Paris in the cast, or the footprint tracks, and made these casts. He took them to the Humboldt Times newspaper in California and showed them these casts. And that's where the term Bigfoot came from. They looked at these casts and said, this thing must have a very big foot to leave these kind of prints. And from there, it just took off. But actually, sightings in the United States date back well into the 1700s, mm-hmm. Probably further back than that. A Native American legend tells of creatures from all over the United States. Each Native American tribe has their own folklore or tales of a large, hairy, upright creature that roams the forests. The earliest documented report here in Pennsylvania dates back to the 1830s, and it comes from Bridgewater, Pennsylvania, where a man was picking berries one day and saw what he claimed to be a wild man running through the woods. And from there, it's just snowballed.
Are there any reports about the people who were attacked or hurt by the Bigfoot?
Well, there have been several reports that have been made. Most of the reports that I'm familiar with have not occurred in Pennsylvania. They've occurred in the Pacific Northwest and the Midwest. Ape Canyon in the 1920s, Fred Beck and his mining crew were attacked. The cabin they stayed in were attacked by some large primate creatures. They had rocks thrown at the cabin. The creatures tried to break into the cabin to get to the miners. There have been other reports of these creatures attacking, or what you might call a provoked attack on people. They're very rare occurrences, very rare.
What could be their origin? Can we consider them local Earth animals or creatures, or are they coming from another planet or from underground?
Well, there are different theories on that. Some people speculate that they come from UFOs. Mm-hmm. There are people that speculate that they do live underground. They're an underground tribe. I personally believe that these are Gigantopithecus blackeye, which is a species of primate that existed in Asia, mm-hmm. and they're thought to be extinct. However, about 10, 15 years ago, they discovered the fossil bones of these creatures in a cave in Asia. So they actually have physical proof that these upright animals existed. And they've recreated these animals through the fossils, mm-hmm. sketches, drawings, photographs, and actually stuffed primate. And to me, that is what Bigfoot is. That's what it closely resembles. I don't think it comes from a UFO. I don't think they live underground, although I've read several reports on it. I think these animals are descendants of the Gigantopithecus. And over time, they've continued to evolve due to the climate changes, and they've continued to migrate as food sources run out in one place, they move on to another. Now, you might be thinking, how did they get to the United States from Asia? Because that's where they originated from. Well, from Russia over to the Alaska, there was a strait mm-hmm. that's no longer there anymore. It's broken up. But I believe that they crossed that strait into Canada, Alaska, that area up there, and migrated south into the United States. And this has gone over for hundreds of years. And I believe they breed like a normal animal species breeds, mm-hmm. and as food supplies run out in an area, they move on to a new area to search out food.
Do you think that they prefer fruits and herbal things, or they are carnivorous?
I believe they're omnivores. They're opportunistic. They eat whatever they can find, mm-hmm. Much like a bear would eat whatever it can find. Fruit, berries, nuts, vegetation, meats. Deer, small animals. There's been hundreds of reports of them, eating fruits and berries and apples. And there's been reports of them seen eating deer or carrying deer carcasses away or chasing small dogs, cats, turkeys, chicken. So I think they're an omnivore. They eat whatever they can find.
And there are some physical, visual evidence, photographs, a very famous shooting of a Bigfoot from the 60s, I guess. So are they real, or are there fake pictures, fake shootings?
Well, the film that you're talking about is from October 1967, the Roger Patterson, Robert mm-hmm. Gimlin film. That has yet to be debunked as a hoax. But it has yet to be proven as legitimate. Mm-hmm. It's kind of one of those things where it's right in the middle. No one's come. There have been several attempts to debunk it, but there's also been a lot of people trying to prove that it does exist. And all we have is the film. And without really having any hard, concrete evidence from that day, we can't say one way or the other that it clearly exists. There are some other photographs that have been taken that I can honestly say look like fakes.
Right.
Yeah. But there are some photographs that I have seen that are fairly convincing. Some videotape that's been taken that looks very convincing.
What is your method to investigate the physical and the cultural effects of Bigfoot? Because it is also a cultural and folkloric myth, if it's a myth. How do you investigate?
Well, what we try to do is we try to take the report that comes into us, and our first step is to find out through the witness, either interviewing the witness face-to-face or over the telephone, preferably it's face-to-face, but we try to find out if this report does sound credible and if there's any hard evidence collected, footprints, hair samples, fecal matter collected, anything that might definitely prove that there was something there. Once we establish that there's enough evidence to warrant further investigation, then we usually go to the scene and try to stake out the scene for a number of days, weeks, however long it takes to collect evidence. Most cases, we do find credible, we don't find evidence. There's been a few rare ones where we have found evidence, footprints or hair samples have been sent off to be studied to determine what kind of animal left the hair. As far as cultural ramifications, it seems like the mythological part of it that has gone on for years still continues to this day, because, like I said, a lot of the reports that we investigate, we don't find evidence at. All we have to go by is the report. And it seems to be the common, I should call it common nature of people to be fascinated by things they can't understand, especially when they see something with their own eyes. Sometimes the reports get blown way out of proportion. They embellish and they create things they didn't really see. And sometimes they're straightforward and truthful. You know, they did see what they claim they saw, and they'll take it to their grave knowing I saw it and you can't convince me otherwise. I haven't seen much of a cultural change as far as mythological goes versus today. And people still seeing it today. It's still the same pattern. People are still reporting, you know, the creature, the descriptions of the creature, the habits of the creature. They all still remain the same. Mm-hmm. Nothing's really changed.
Let's say that I had a sighting, and I want to report it. How can I find you?
Well, we're on the website. Mm-hmm. We have a website on the internet.
What is your website?
It's www.pabigfootsociety.com, and we also have a toll-free number that we just installed. I don't have it memorized yet.
Okay, we can find it
right,
on your
internet.
Right,
you can find it on the internet,
very
correct.
Easily.
Yes.
So, did you ever get any photograph, any physical evidence that it really convinces you that's a real photograph, that's a real picture or shooting?
I have yet to see a photograph other than the Roger Patterson film that we discussed earlier. Mm-hmm. That's the only thing that I've seen that has convinced me that there is something out there, there's a creature out there. Mm-hmm. I've seen a lot of photographs, I've seen a lot of video footage that looks fairly convincing, but without being there, without seeing the site for myself, actually talking to the witness who took the video or the pictures, I have a little bit of a doubt in my mind, a little bit of skeptic belief that, you know, it could be fake. As far as footprints go, yes, I've seen some pretty convincing footprints. We have casts here on display at the conference today that are much longer than my foot, much wider than my foot, that are fairly convincing that it was made by an upright creature and not a person.
There are many animals all over the world that they are dying, and their spaces are ending, and their numbers are getting less and less every year. So is there this kind of a danger for Bigfoot too?
I think there is. I think that's one of our goals, is to prove this animal exists so that we can have scientists come in and study it and put it on an endangered species list. I personally don't believe there's a large number of these creatures. If there were, let's say, for example, if there were a large number of these creatures, like there are a large number of deer, they'd be identified and classified and protected. I don't think there's a large number of these creatures, and I think the numbers are continuing to dwindle. Yes, we still get sighting reports, and yes, we still find evidence that these creatures still do exist. However, the reports become farther and farther apart, or more and more sparse than they used to be. We're hoping that we can find that one conclusive piece of evidence that we can say, here's your animal. It does exist. Please classify it and protect it. That's our main goal. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, science, with their mindset being skeptic towards this animal, wants a body. They want a piece of a body so they can study.
Yes. And yes. Like an autopsy.
Right.
Like the famous Roswell alien autopsy.
Exactly. They want to be able to take this animal apart, to dissect it, to study it. And that's the only way we're going to get proof that they want, is with a dead body or a part of a body. However, our group is what we call a non-kill group. We don't believe in going out there and killing one of these animals.
How many people do you have in your group?
We have about 75 members in
75.
Our organization.
Yeah. So are there any doctors or scientists in your group?
We do have a couple of, we have a gentleman right now who's going to be a wildlife biologist by trade. He's going to school for it. We have a chemistry professor in our group. We have retired state police officers. Mm-hmm. We have communication experts.
So all trustworthy, reliable.
Yeah, exactly.
Investigators.
People from all different backgrounds.
And a very solid,
right.
Real background.
Right.
Yes.
These aren't just
dreamers.
Right.
Not a dreamer.
Right.
Yes.
These are people who have the same interests as I do, share the same thoughts as I do. And they have credible careers, you know. Most of them don't like their names released to the public because of their positions they're
yes,
in.
Their professions.
Their professions. So, you know, those people I completely respect because they don't want their name released, especially the professor or the retired state trooper.
Do you have any publications as a group or personally?
Right now we put out a quarterly newsletter.
Mm-hmm.
It's basically covers all the latest activity and events going on in our group.
Yes.
That's what we have out right now as far as a publication. We have a yearly conference that we hold, much like this paranormal conference,
yes.
But it's all dedicated to Bigfoot and Bigfoot sightings and reports. And we bring in speakers from all over the country and to talk on what they've discovered and to educate the public. I'm in the process, and I've been in the process for about 2 years, of putting down all of our investigations on paper and writing a book.
Mm-hmm.
However, with my career and my family and trying to run the group...
By the way, what is your career, your primary?
I work for a telecommunications company,
a very large
telecommunications company.
Yeah.
So, and they do know what I do. I get some ribbing about it at work.
Mm-hmm.
They tease me about it. But, I'm trying, like I said, I was trying to put together a book to talk about the activity in Pennsylvania and the things that we've investigated over the past 6-7 years. There's just so much of it that it's going to take a long time to get everything down on paper.
Yes, but I'm sure it will be a great book.
I hope.
because you and your group is really dedicated and you are taking this subject very seriously. And I can't wait to see your book on the shelves.
Well, hopefully someday it'll be done.
Someday soon?
Hopefully soon, yeah. I like I said, it's hard to juggle. This is, to me, is a hobby, but it's a very passionate hobby. And to juggle that with my wife and my family and my career and try to keep everything equally balanced and then try to write a book on top of it is very challenging. But I'm hoping that someday soon I'll have at least the first volume of the book done.
Oh, it will be great. Okay, do you have any messages to the Jerry Pippin radio show listeners?
One thing I would like to let everybody know is, a lot of people think, oh, I've never seen a Bigfoot, it doesn't exist. I've never seen footprints, it doesn't exist. I read these reports, but they're all fake. I encourage people to keep an open mind because there's still so many species on this planet that are still being discovered to this day.
Mm-hmm.
Some small, some significant discoveries have been made recently. A giant squid has been discovered off the coast of, I believe, Newfoundland.
Mm-hmm.
So there's always scientific discoveries going on. We just ask that you keep an open mind. We're not telling you that you have to believe in the subject. You have to accept what we say. But just take a look at the evidence for yourself and make your own judgment.
Well, nobody believes that one day it will be possible traveling to moon.
Right.
But now it's old-fashioned.
Exactly. And as technology continues to advance and more people are out looking for this animal, more groups such as ourselves,
yes,
will get to the bottom of it.
In fact, I'm not an expert in Bigfoot subject, but I cannot see Bigfoot as an animal. It's a different kind of being that we don't know. It's not an animal. It's something else.
Well, a lot of people believe that. A lot of people believe, why don't we have a body? It can't be a flesh and blood creature because they don't die. And mm-hmm. we don't find the carcass.
Mm-hmm.
And we should have one by now because mm-hmm. they've been doing this for 45, 50 years. And some people feel that this animal being, whatever mm-hmm. you want to call it, isn't a flesh and blood of this earth creature. Some people believe it comes from another planet through UFOs. Some people believe it comes through interdimensional travel. And that's fine. Everyone's entitled to their own opinion. I don't knock anybody for a different opinion. I personally believe that this is a flesh and blood creature. Like I said earlier, it descended the Gigantopithecus.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
So I think that over time, and as they've continued to evolve with man
mm-hmm.
and understanding man, watching man from the woods, they've become very intelligent and very, very wary of us.
Maybe they have a telepathic power, maybe.
I've also heard that, too.
They can telepathically contact with us.
Yeah, there have been theories on that as well. There are researchers who speculate that these animals have a telepathic connection between themselves and humans as well. They can read our minds and know our thoughts.
Because, as you know, some human beings can be very, very dangerous and
yes.
cruel.
Yes, you're absolutely correct.
Not all of them, but
right.
some of them.
Yes, there are, unfortunately, there are bad people out there. Not everybody, but
so
there are some.
They are wilder than any wild animals.
Exactly. And I think, like I said, my opinion is these creatures have evolved over time. They've gotten to know that, you know, what human intention is. They see the hunters in the woods shooting deer, shooting animals, so they think all humans are got to shoot them. That's why they're wary of us, and they're very elusive and reckless as far as humans, you know, human contact goes.
Yes.
Not all of us are like that.
So dangerous,
yeah.
But some
our,
of us.
Our intentions in our organization is to make, you know, to find the proof through peaceful means. Like what Jane Goodall did with the study of
yes.
the primates.
Yes.
She wanted to observe them in their natural habitat.
Mm-hmm.
That's what we want to do. We don't want to shoot one. We don't want to kill one. Hopefully someday we'll be fortunate enough to find a carcass that has died of natural causes, or
mm-hmm.
someone has run it over with the car, and
mm-hmm.
we can come in and collect the body and then present it to the science
yes.
for future study. And you know.
Eric, thank you very much for this wonderful interview.
Well,
it was a pleasure meeting you. Thank you.
Thank you.